It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are.
Swiggies and new listeners, Swifties or non-specified, you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs. This is episode 63, and I am here with Sam.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Oh,
hello.
Hello. Say that with all due respect to our Australian mates out there. Yes.
Yeah. Hello. We're in our Australian era, which is
yes.
Has been so lovely.
So lovely. What's going on with you, Rach?
I am coming off of a weekend of cross country skiing with the family. And
how was that? I didn't get the invite this year.
Yeah, it was super fun. We had a great time. It was a little different. I must say Taylor Swift showed up for my cross country ski race. I listened
Taylor Swift
to
was there?
In my ears, she was.
In your ears, right.
And okay. I listened to a randomized playlist of good Taylor Swift bops. And sure enough, right as I was about to cross the start line, Getaway Car was playing and she goes, go, go, go. Okay. Mm. So right off, I knew this was going to be a great race.
Did you have a false start because she was telling you to go and you went? They hadn't actually started the race yet?
No, I'm so slow that it takes me a while to cross the start line because
she was
way
singing
in the
slow,
back.
Slow, slow.
Exactly. I hit the woods right as she said, out of the woods. And I was like, no, Taylor, we're not out of the woods yet.
Perfect timing.
Okay, there was one other moment that I have blanked on, but what I was thinking was like, I was like making the lyrics and the words like fit. I mean, I was like stretching it, obviously, but like it reminded me that that's the thing with these with like great Taylor Swift songs, is we can make it about anything, and
yeah, it's true.
Like even more than just our regular love songs and. Anyway, okay, Sam, so I want to, like, talk a little bit about this new trend that she's doing with her mashup songs.
Okay. Yeah, what are your thoughts?
See, what's so interesting, and you mentioned we have this TTPD coming. Are we calling it 2 T's, or is it just TPD?
I'm calling it Tizzle, Tizzle, Pizzle, Dizzle. You can call whatever the heck you want.
All right, so Tizzle, Tizzle. P. Dizzo. Okay, so that's coming out. And she's been introducing new versions. We're getting a new version of the album cover, including a surprise, including a bonus song. Sam, I don't have time. I've already mentioned this before. I feel like we need to do a breakdown of all of the songs and all of our theories. But that is not tonight. But what I do want to say is I feel like she's almost trying to tell the story of this very intense breakup through her surprise song choices. Not just the choices, but the way that she mashes them together.
Well, what I find the most interesting about what you just said is that you consider the breakup to be what's intense. I consider to be the album will be more of a story about the relationship.
Yes.
Leading towards
yes.
the breakup.
Yes. I 100% agree. Mm-hmm. In fact, this is like, we were like suspecting, like, is Midnight's like a breakdown album?
Yeah.
I'm moving back. And I've always said this.
It's funny because
like,
we don't know yet. We haven't heard.
I know. I know. But, and yet, the girl does not just casually give us things. Like, she is a storyteller, even, and I think she's trying to tell a story within her surprise song. So here's one example, okay? We get New Year's Day and peace mashed up together, right? New Year's Day is the song, it's like the, like a song that we got, like one of the earliest love songs on Reputation, about Joe, about please don't ever become a stranger whose laugh I would recognize anyway, anywhere. It was about a love that she really hoped, that she's saying, I will stay till the very end. And then peace is asking the question, like, the anxiety that she has, will it be enough if I can never give you peace? Like, am I enough for you? And that is telling. What it is telling, I don't yet know.
Well, that's the thing, is we don't know. We're totally speculating.
I know.
We don't
know anything. What if
actually the Torture Poets Department is Lover Part 2? What if it's just a total love album?
And like, we're just assuming. Tortured for love?
You know, maybe.
It's like an S&M kind of an album.
Okay, whoa. Well, we just need to save these thoughts for a designated episode.
I know.
It sounds like you've got some thoughts.
All I want to say is, Swiggies, if you're just like curious about this, pay attention to the surprise songs. Mm-hmm. Give us your own perspective. And Sam, I'm just throwing you for a loop here.
Please do.
But I think it would be fun if you and I, from now until like TTPD or until we get sick of it, when we do a song recap, if we each choose a song that we think that Taylor Swift should mash up with this song. Okay?
Okay. That's whole other homework assignment I need to start
It's an entire new, but maybe just like give me your on-the-fly answer as we're having a conversation. We don't have to do it now.
We can start with today's episode if you want.
That's what I thought we would do. All right, Sam, before we get any further into this episode, why don't you tell the listeners where they can find us so that they can share their theories on song mashups?
Ooh, I love that. Yes, Swiggies, we would love to hear from you. And we want to know what your dream mashup would be. It used to be, what's your dream surprise song at the Eras Tour moment? But now it's kind of shifting into, what is your dream mashup? And gosh, the options are endless. So please let us know what you guys think. You can send us an email at swiftandswigspodcast@gmail.com letting us know what your dream mashups are. And maybe you want to recommend another song that we cover on our podcast by sending that in an email as well. We would love to hear from you on that platform. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, you can also leave us a 5-star review. We would love to hear your 5-star review. We want to know what you guys think about our podcast and how you can encourage future Swiggies to find us as well. So please leave us a kind review on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe to us on Spotify, whatever platform you're listening to us on. If it has an availability to give us a thumbs up or a 5-star rating, we would love that. It would help us grow. And we want to be able to share the Swiggy love with everybody. The other thing that you can do is follow us at Swift and Swigs Podcast on Instagram and TikTok, where we will be posting content of our videos and clips of our discussion today. So that's, I think, all the plugging I want to do. And if you're not already following our playlist on Spotify, we call it Every Single Song Featured on Swift and Swigs Podcast, and where we include every single song that we've covered in the order that we covered them in. So you don't even need to hit shuffle. It's already shuffled for you, basically, because hey, that's basically what we do here on our podcast, is just shuffle these songs completely and randomly.
From era to era.
Era to era.
All right. Speaking of songs and playlists, Sam, you have any good new shit that you're listening to lately? I'm doing good. I'm on
some new shit. Yes, Rachel, I am doing good. And I am on some new shit. I chose an artist this week that I have been so excited to talk about on this podcast since day one. But I don't think I've ever mentioned this person. But it is a pop girly that I think is so underrated in the industry, but somebody that I have always really admired her music. And that is the one and only Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, wow. I have not heard a Carly Rae Jepsen song in a while.
Well, and that's the thing is because she has put out a number of albums, but they always fly under the radar. They're not ever nominated for the Grammys. But to me, she encompasses everything I love about pop music in that they're fun and catchy, but they've got really deep, profound lyrics that make you really question the status quo of pop music in the industry in which we know it. Obviously, Taylor Swift is a prime example of that. But Carly Rae Jepsen, to me, has always been somebody that just stands out. Now, of course, the number one song most people think about is Call Me Maybe.
Call Me Maybe. Okay, I was just going to ask you. I, like, just now hit my head that I was like, wait, is this Call Me Maybe, girl?
Totally. Okay. Yes, that's Carly Rae Jepsen. And that was in 2012. And Rachel, I have a really strong memory of that song. When I moved back from Argentina and I crashed with you and Mike for like a month, that song was the number one song on the radio at that time. Mm-hmm. And that was my reintroduction into United States culture was, wow, everybody loves this song. So that's how I first heard about Carly Rae Jepsen like everybody else. But let me just tell you, it goes way deeper than Call Me Maybe, which objectively speaking is one of the greatest pop songs of all time. But here's my number. Can't deny that. Yes, she has just put out some really great albums in recent years, and I've always really loved listening to them. But what's interesting is I don't hear many other people talking about Carly Rae Jepsen at all. I will say she released an album last year called The Loneliest Time, and there was like a viral moment she had with one of those songs on TikTok. The funny thing is she released that album on the same day that Taylor Swift released Midnights. And that was probably like, you know, an unfortunate coincidence since you don't want to try to compare like two pop albums, you know, if they come out the same day, one will be overshadowed, especially if it's Taylor Swift. So I do remember that happening and the album kind of got lost in the mix. But what Carly Rae Jepsen does is she tends to release a side B after every single album that comes out. So the side B to that album is called The Loveliest Time. And I latched myself onto that album more than the original. And there's one particular song that I cannot get enough of. It is a dancey song. That song is called Psychedelic Switch. It's like a psychedelic switch. Don't wake me cause I'm lucid dreaming. Meditating on your lips. It's one of those songs that has a beat that's impossible not to move to, Rachel. Mm-hmm. And I love every track on the album, The Loveliest Time. I really recommend you check that album out. If not, then her album Dedicated from years ago, Side A and Side B, is one of my favorites. But yeah, I just wanted to focus on her newest release, which is The Loveliest Time. It did come out last summer, so it's been out in the ether for a while. But the song Psychedelic Switch is so phenomenal. It's so much fun. And I really want us all to be focusing more on Carly Rae Jepsen. I think she's brilliant and so creative and cute and sweet and sexy all in the same package deal. And I think she severely flies under the radar. And if I can be one to change that, I think she deserves so much more. So,
are you Carly Rae Jepsen's like tree pain? I mean,
I have not been paid to say that. I just am so passionate about Carly Rae Jepsen, and I cannot truly believe it's taken me this long to actually talk about her on the podcast. I think I just needed to break the seal. So now that I've broken the seal, the secret's out.
Okay.
I love Carly Rae Jepsen, and I think you should too.
I may come back here and tell you I was listening. That's my favorite thing to do is be like, hey, Sam, you told me about this artist, and I went and listened to it, and this is what I love. So,
absolutely. All right, your turn.
All right, well, I guess speaking of artists that I know that you listen to and that I'm just now getting back into, I mentioned this last week. I wanted to start listening to a couple of the collaborators on the new TTPD.
Ooh, yes.
Tizzo P Dizzo yes. album coming out. It's Post Malone's turn. Oh. I have always known like that Post Malone is great, and I realized, though, I was like, I don't. No, like everybody talks about how much they love them, and I was like, I can't think of a single song of his.
Oh.
So I went back. I found some great music. I found one of the favorite songs is from the Spider-Verse movie, which we saw this summer. And so I had kind of like a summer feelings about that song. The name of the most recent album is 12 Carat Toothache.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Interesting. But the first song on the album is Reputation.
Shut up.
that is the name of the song. And I was like, you know what? There's a lot of interesting songs on this. I will explore them. I did really enjoy. There's a song called I Like You, parentheses, a happier song.
Okay.
Featuring Doja Cat. And then I Cannot Be, parentheses, a sadder song.
Mm.
But we're going to focus on Reputation because that has a connection with our girl. Say my own life just to say yes. I got a reputation that I can't deny. You're the superstar and it's haters. Uncertain if this song is about a lover or if it's about the fans. And okay. I love the confused messaging there because we do that a lot with Taylor Swift as well. Like, and I almost think that this has to be a thing that would happen a lot with artists that have a big fan base, right? Is like sometimes the things that you struggle with in a relationship with a lover could also be the things that are struggling in this like confusing relationship with the fan base, right? And how in this song it's basically like I is being really vulnerable about like I put it all out there for you. I like take my own life just to save yours is the opening line.
Wow.
And it essentially
way to start
yeah.
Post.
And what I kind of get the vibe from Post is he's super vulnerable. He's in his feels and I can see why Taylor would connect with
him. He's a totally sensitive guy. And from what I know about him.
Sensitive guy with a bunch of tattoos. And I love that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. He's a contradiction in a visual sense. And I do love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's sensitive. And I understand him to be a very nice and sweet person with a surprisingly alluring voice. And I'll admit, Rachel, I have been needing to dig deeper into Post Malone. I know that every song I've heard, I've been a fan of. So it has far past my due date where I dig deep into him. So I'll take your recommendation and I'll start with that album and I'll start with Reputation and see where it goes.
I think it's time that we get into our song of the week.
Yes, this is such an exciting one. Rachel,
yes.
I am thrilled for this one. Absolutely.
And to do this, Sam, I thought I would bring on a guest, just a brief guest appearance.
Okay.
I am bringing on Caroline, my daughter. Caroline, do you want to say hi?
Hi.
Caroline, it's so good to see you. She can't hear me right now because you're the one wearing the headphones.
Shoot. So I'm just going to pass the headphones over to Caroline.
Okay.
And she's going to give an introduction into the song, but I'm going to let you ask the question we always love to ask,
great.
Okay?
Hello, Caroline.
Hello.
Okay, so first of all, I'm so excited that your mom told me that you wanted to kind of be a special part of the episode today.
Yeah.
This isn't your first appearance on our podcast, though, is it?
No.
No, because you were part of the song draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of the songs that you chose on your song draft was a song that I was surprised to hear you say, but a song that I have always considered to be one of my absolute favorites. So if it's okay with you, why don't you let us know, Caroline, which song have we decided to choose for today's episode?
We are doing I Forgot That You Existed.
I forgot that you existed. And I thought that it would kill me, but it didn't. And it was so nice.
Yay! I love the song so much, Caroline. And it sounds like you love the song too. Do you want to share with us why you love that song so much?
I think I just really like how, like, in the chorus, she's like, I forgot that you existed. and I thought that it would kill me, but it didn't. And she's like, she's kind of like, oh, I just forgot that you existed. It's not a big a deal. Like, she's just kind of like living with how she forgot that he existed.
She's just like living carefree, rent-free in her own mind, right? I love it. Do you have anything else you wanted to say about the song?
Well, in Lover, we have a lot of the like the snappy thing, like when she snaps, and that's in this song, and I really like that part.
I forgot that you existed. It isn't love, it isn't hate, it's just indifference. I forgot that you...
I love it. I'm so excited. Well, thank you for choosing the song, Caroline. Thanks for being a special part of the episode, too.
Bye.
Thank you.
That was fun. Thanks for letting Caroline pop on.
Oh my gosh. So fun. Thank you, Caroline. What a sweetheart.
Really, yes. I appreciate it. It's fun to have my kids' input. And she's been asking to do that song for so long. So I felt like it was just
this
right.
Is not the first time she's actually chosen a song.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. She's right? The kids have influenced me every now and then. So yeah, let's get into it, Sam. And
can't wait.
I want to start with a cocktail. Should I go first?
Yes, please. Go for it, Rachel. What cocktail did you come up with for I Forgot That You Existed?
What a fun one. Yeah. So I was stuck on this line, I Forgot That You Existed, and trying to figure out what that has to do with a cocktail. And I was wanting to think about a cocktail that I used to drink a lot, but I haven't had in a while. And the first thing I thought of was a Tom Collins. Because a Tom Collins was the first time that Mike and I started getting into classic cocktail mixing, if you will. The funny thing about trying to understand the origin story of the Tom Collins is that it gets confusing. It's almost as if people forgot that it existed. Or who it was in the first place, because it was invented in like the late 1800s.
Wow.
It was listed in the cocktail book. And it's as a Tom Collins right next to a John Collins. And it gets confusing. The Wikipedia of this song was long, okay? Of the cocktail. So okay. As soon as... Prohibition hit, like people like forgot what the Tom Collins was.
They forgot that it existed.
And who invented it. It like the story of its invention gets confusing. But there's another folklore about Tom Collins is actually a prank that Bostonians used to play on people in like the late 1800s, where they would go up to somebody and they would say, hey, Tom Collins is talking shit about you. You come up to somebody like, do you know Tom Collins? And the person would say, no. And they would say, well, Tom Collins is talking shit about you. Where is he? He's in that bar. You go into that bar. Where's Tom Collins? Oh, he's not here. He went to that bar down the street. Well, I'm going to go find Tom Collins. And then you like got this beef for Tom Collins and the guy never actually existed. So this was like,
funny.
I know. And so some people think that that's what the drink is based off of.
Okay,
I tell all that because it's just a fun, weird, maybe sort of connection to I Forgot That You Existed.
I love that.
I thought I was going to kill him, but I can't because he doesn't actually exist.
Interesting.
And it's a delightful drink. You start with a gin sour. Gin. My recipe uses powdered sugar instead of simple syrup. I think that was like a way of adding with sugar quickly and let it dissolve quickly. Lemon juice. Put it in a Collins glass with ice. A Collins glass is like a tall and skinny.
Is it called a Collins glass because of this cocktail?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So that's pretty legendary.
Well, it is because, again, like I said, this was like a late 1800s cocktail. Like this has a turn of the century kind of drink. You talk it with sparkling water. I'm using a limoncello LaCroix because that felt appropriate.
Yeah.
And it's bubbly. And I'm calling this All of My Sunshine.
Oh, okay.
Because it is delightful and bubbly and peppy.
I love that's a great what a backstory and everything, Rachel. There you go. You came fully equipped.
I did.
Cheers.
So, cheers. Clink, clink. What do you got for us, Sam?
All right, Rachel. I've got out some popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Dang it, that was my second choice. I almost did a popcorn cocktail.
I did a popcorn cocktail. Adorned it with popcorn all over the stem.
Gee, I'm obsessed. Cool? Okay, so tell me how you did this, because I've always wanted to do a popcorn cocktail.
Okay, yeah. So, of course, I took inspiration from the line, got out some popcorn. Mm-hmm. Sorry, let me start over. I forgot that you got out some popcorn as soon as my rep started going down. And, you know, that being an edible line in a lyric, I thought, let's go with that. So I wanted a popcorn cocktail, which I have done similar things, because at the Snitching Lady Distillery, where I work, of course, our famous blue corn whiskey is known for being buttery and butterscotchy and buttered popcorn and flavor.
Yum.
So
yeah,
I've never done a cocktail quite like this before, but I've done cocktails that have a similar taste profile to buttered popcorn. So of course I used our blue corn whiskey in this, Rachel, but I made a buttered popcorn simple syrup by just making a classic simple syrup on the stove, but adding a little bit of salt in there as well. And then once I pulled the syrup off the stove, I just added a bunch of microwavable buttered popcorn into it. And I just let it steep for a couple of hours. And, you know, of course, I strained out the popcorn. And what I was left with was just buttered popcorn flavored simple syrup.
Does it really
taste
like that?
It's literally so simple. Yeah.
Wow.
It's quite buttery and you know, rich in and of itself. But you know what else I added, Rachel? This is just so out of characteristic for me, but I couldn't resist it. I got one of those little tiny bottles of caramel flavored Smirnoff vodka.
Oh my gosh.
Because I just thought that flavor would really pair nicely with it. You know, so I've got the blue corn whiskey, which is buttery. I've got the buttery popcorn simple syrup. I've got a little bit of that caramel vodka in here, and I added some half and half just to give it that like creaminess. And that is my cocktail, Rachel. I'm calling it Got Out Some Popcorn.
Yum.
And here I go, a taste in it. Let's see.
This is like perfectly timed for an Oscars party cocktail too.
Oh, you could pair this with some movies.
Yes.
It's really delicious.
Sam.
Ooh, I'm loving this, actually.
Sam.
Wow, I want to take another sip. Yes.
You did not mean this, but this episode airs on March 15th. Mm-hmm. And that is the day that the Eras Tour film hits Disney.
So true. We did talk about this earlier in the episode, and it was good timing for that reason and alone.
Get out some popcorn.
If you were lucky enough to get one of those commemorative Eras Tour popcorn buckets theaters,
you can make a whole
I'm not lucky enough. Then you gotta make yourself some popcorn, stream it. You don't even have to pay for it, unless you have to pay for, you know, your Disney subscription, I suppose. But let's just cheers to the Eras Tour being available on streaming as of the release of this episode.
Clink,
that is
clink.
so exciting. And cheers to our I Forgot That You Existed cocktails. Mm-hmm. Mine is buttery and delicious. Rachel, how's yours?
It feels like sunshine. And it's not gone. It's just still here, but it probably will be by the end of this episode.
Oh, mine's going down quickly. Let me tell you that much. Okay, Rachel, we're going to break this fun song down.
So fun.
Into our three usual categories, starting with the spirit of the song, where you're going to explain to us what the overall message of I Forgot That You Existed is, and what Taylor's trying to convey with what the song is. Then we're going to break down the musical mixology moments, which I am excited to discuss that part of this song. You know, I always have notes on the musical mixology.
I rely on you.
I definitely have some notes I'm going to bring to the table when we discuss the music of the song. And then we're going to talk about how Taylor maybe twists the Taylor twist of it all, that she twists the lyrics and what these lyrics represent. And of course, we will be breaking them down word by word, of course. Mm-hmm. So, Rachel, let's start with the spirit of the song. You chose the song this week. Actually, it kind of sounds like Caroline might have chosen this song this week. But I think she's gone off to bed, or who knows where she is. It's almost like we forgot that she existed. She's no longer a part of this podcast at this point, although she's always here in spirit. Speaking of spirit, Rachel, what is the spirit of this song?
Yeah, I'll just lead off where Caroline left us, which was, this is just a really fun song about realizing one day that you are over something or someone. Mm-hmm. And you thought that that would cause you a lot of stress. And as this, the bubbly nature of the song, it seems to convey, you've moved on from that. I think it's also really important to note that this is a track one song.
Absolutely.
And we have talked about it before, but we're going to say it again. Track ones are really, really essential for laying out the guidebook for where we're going in the next album, but also acting as like the transition from the last album to the next. Sometimes her songs do better than others. This song was a very key song for illustrating a transition from an era of very dark, heavy, emotionally driven, like kind of strong emotions, if you will. There's some love emotions. There's some high and happy. It's not all like angry and sad or whatever.
Sure.
But Reputation was a fierce album. This song is basically the literal image of a snake just transforming into a bouquet of butterflies.
Yes.
If you have seen that, and we're not discussing me. This is not the, you know, the music video for this song.
But you bring it up because Me was the first song that we heard from this era and this album.
Yes.
It was the lead single that came out weeks, months before we even knew what the concept of this album was. But of course, we're talking about when the album finally was released, the lead song that gets you into the entire era. And the Lover era is one of her most iconic in that it stood apart. It still does stand apart thematically from so many of her other albums.
Yeah.
This song starts off a really revolutionary era for Taylor Swift, one that we had never seen before and one that we haven't really seen since either.
Yeah, and that's true.
This song does a really great job of representing where exactly are we going to go in this album and in this era.
And the album itself is called Lover. The album is pink and purple. The album rollout is butterflies and like, you know, a rainbow of color. And so,
literally.
Yes, yeah. Literally. And so we can assume where we're going, but she just kind of confirms why we're going there, that it's not necessarily a like, this is like, I'm trying to be the antithesis for the last album. I think it's just her way of saying, hey, that was rough. Okay. That was a lot. I hear you and I'm doing okay. I'm okay. And this is going to be fun.
She really does lay it out with this song. She does a great job of closing the chapter that was Reputation and opening a new door into what Lover is.
Yeah.
And Rachel, there have been some Swifty talk. There has been some loud people who do not like this song. They view it as one of her weakest track ones of all time. And I couldn't disagree more because of the reasons that we just mentioned. I think it is a wonderful representation of what a track one should be for Taylor Swift's brand. And it's also just really freaking fun. Totally. Hello.
Totally.
It's so carefree. And that's kind of a big theme of what she's singing about, too, is the concept of being carefree. But because of that, it's just such an easy thing to listen to. Also, it's quite a difference from the sound of the previous opening tracks that we've gotten. I mean, Ready For It, Hello, is such a banger, and it hits you like bang. Welcome to New York in 1989 mm-hmm. is similar as well, in that it's really like heavily produced, loud beats and pop noises that you get. You know, and those are the two prior examples. And this one is just, you know what? It's just stripped back.
Yes, totally. I find this song to be such a delight because I really think no matter what you have gone through in your life, you can think of a moment that was so, so hard. And realize that there comes a point when, like, you can often you'll feel like this is going to be hard forever. This is my new heart forever and ever. And it's so hard to see past that. You get to the other side of it and it takes you by surprise. Taylor Swift said that herself, that she was actually on the Reputation era tour, the Reputation tour, when she suddenly, it was just real. She realized one day like that tour was healing for her. And that she was suddenly like not caring the way that she used to. And like having like, she wasn't having the unhealthy relationship that she once did with the media, with what other people were saying about her, with like anything else. She was just enjoying herself with her fans. And I think that it's really refreshing to know that we move on. Do we actually forget that that person existed altogether? Absolutely, 100% not. But no. We can get. But this song reminds us that, like, oh, but we can get there. Like, we can remember, like, yes, that it's actually going to be okay. That is the answer to the. Are you okay?
And believe it or not, Rachel, Taylor Swift is a human like the rest of us. Shocking. I know that's a really tough thing to kind of comprehend sometimes, because she's just so advanced. But my point in being is, of course, she's going to feel wronged by certain people and want to forget that they existed. We all have these situations in our lives. But there comes a point when, like you said, you think that you'll never get over something. And then maybe one day you realize, you know what? It's been a while since I've thought about that situation.
Yeah.
And that's what I think she's trying to prove with the song is, I forgot that you existed, is acknowledging that, okay, you did pop into my head just now, but only for me to realize I haven't thought about you in a while. And just when I thought that I would never get over you, oh, I forgot. I forgot that I used to be hung up on you. I forgot that you even existed. And you're still going to remember the hardships that you go through in your life. Your mind will take you back to these certain memories.
Yeah.
But if it's not carrying all of your memories and occupying every single space of your mind every single day, those are the moments to celebrate. And that is what Taylor Swift is doing with this song. Yeah. She's basically celebrating that, oh, you know what? I kind of did forget for a little bit there.
Yeah.
And I forget now. So...
Started hinting at the music.
Yes,
and
I have.
So we can continue on into that segment. But I also love the stripped down nature of it. I did hear that she did it a lot of this song in like one or two takes.
I believe it. You know, it's so simple.
It is.
It's like, really, really simple. I think this song does a really fantastic job of sounding like what she's trying to convey lyrically.
Yeah.
Because, like we said, it's very stripped back. There's beats, but it's not loud. And I thought that it would kill
kill me, but it didn't. And it was so.
It's a really good bridge. It's a great segue from the overall sonic sound theme of Reputation, which was loud and beat driven and heavy, into Lover, which is light and airy and bubblegummy and fun and carefree.
It's bouncy sound. Bouncy. Do you remember when we talked about Jump Then Fall, and like, we both just kept wanting to say bouncy?
Bouncy.
I feel like this word is bouncy. Side note, I think Taylor Swift listens to our podcast because...
Do tell. What's your proof?
She was talking about in Australia...
Hi, Taylor.
Hi, Taylor.
It's me.
We
Hi.
Know you. Yeah. She was talking about how much she loves the kangaroo in Australia. She was saying this during her, like, one of her speeches. And she was like, they're just so bouncy. And I immediately realized, like, my girl is listening to us. She loves the word bouncy. She loves
the
kangaroo.
We invented the word bouncy, Rachel.
We totally invented it. And that's what this song is. It's just, there's lightness, there's giggles. I even said it feels like, you know that smirk that she does when she knows something and she knows we know something? Mm-hmm. It just kind of like feels like that. Like she's like, I know what you're all thinking. Like, oh my gosh, Reputation was a journey. But here I am. I'm in love. Wink, wink.
Yeah, totally, totally. It's such a transitional moment. Again, she's just acknowledging it, and then she's sweeping in the past. We don't talk about this moment in the rest of the album ever again.
You're right.
Basically.
You're right.
And then we move into Cruel Summer, which is like, okay, this is the real heart of Lover.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's like a palate cleanser. Like, it needed to be said. It needed to be done. Cleared my throat. It's a throat clear from Are You Ready For It?
It really is.
So yeah, let's do the lyrics. Yeah. How about it?
Let's do it, Rachel.
How many days did I spend thinking about how you did me? Wrong, wrong, wrong. Lived in the shade you were throwing till all of my sunshine was almost gone, gone, gone.
Cheers. Wow, you've really been sipping that cocktail.
Clink, clink. It's a tiny Collins glass. And I couldn't get away from you. In my feelings more than Drake, so yeah. Your name on my lips, tongue-tied, free rent living in my mind. But then something happened one magical night.
It's funny how you pose that as a question.
Yeah. All right.
Where to begin?
Where to begin. So one thing we haven't talked about yet, Sam, which we sometimes talk about in the spirit, we hinted at it. Who is this song about?
Mm.
And maybe the better question is, well... I'll get to the better question, but I'm curious when you read through these lyrics, what do you think she's talking about?
Well, I think she's talking about a musician, and I think that especially comes through in the second verse. A musician who has clearly wronged her, somebody that sucked away her sunshine. Somebody that she couldn't quite shake off for a really long time. And that gives us a couple thoughts, you know. One thought would be Calvin Harris, who she dated, who is a musician, who was, you know, kind of a notorious jerk. And would certainly inspire a song like this, right? But I don't think it's about Calvin Harris. Because, again, we're moving away from this Reputation era. And we're trying to get out of that mindset. And a big part of that Reputation era for Taylor was the whole concept of her getting canceled by Kanye West. And that, to me, is, I think, what she's singing about. I think she's acknowledging, I still harbor these feelings, but I'm just going to acknowledge that I don't really care about them anymore. To me, this song is absolutely about Kanye West. And I would love to hear if you have a different thought on that. But
that was my gut.
Yeah. Okay.
I do think there are moments that could hint at Calvin. I think there are a majority of the moments that could hint at, Kanye, especially since we talked about it being the transition period from the Reputation album, which we do associate with a time period, her cruel summer, if you will, of 2016, when there was a lot of controversy. If you don't know what we're talking about, we'll link to a bunch of episodes in our show notes where we kind of break this down a whole lot more. I'll have to remember.
We bring up this whole concept. It comes up a lot. A lot.
Yeah. I don't remember the first time. I don't remember if it was Evermore, because we definitely talked about it then. We obviously talk about it in Cruel Summer. I'm sure we talked about it in, like, Look What You Made Me Do. I'm sure those things came up then. So we'll be sure to link those in the show notes. But I've heard another concept, and I think this comes through a little bit more in the second verse. You mentioned the second verse is where you say, well, we assume it's a musician. And
I assume, but you know.
We'll get into that section and we can talk about it more specifically. But I want to throw out that the Kanye West of it all, the Kim-ye, the Kanye, all of that, was not the only thing that she was dealing with. She was also dealing with some friends who were abandoning her in 2016. Mm-hmm. And so one of those biggest friendships was her friendship with Karlie Kloss.
And oh, is this about Karlie Kloss, Rachel?
There is another theory that, and that's why when I mentioned, like, what is this song about? It's obviously could be about a very specific time in her life about that, but I think it can also be about any time that a friendship is lost to, and you thought it would kill you, like breaking up. Like, and we don't get a lot of friendship songs, and so I almost want to equate this with the loss of a friendship and what that can mean.
Well, what we do know about that is that she and Karlie were very close. They were like attached at the hip, almost literally, because like every picture they were like hip and hip.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's obviously speculations about friendship versus beyond
lovers,
friendship.
Dating, whatever.
But the number one thing is obviously they were just very, very close. And suddenly it just ended, and we kind of have a little bit of insight about Karlie maybe having said some things, and that probably pissed Taylor off, but we don't know, and we might not ever know. I don't think we ever will know unless we get a song about it in Tizzle Tizzle Pizzle Dizzle, but...
Whoa, that would be fun.
It's now, probably one of those songs where, like, is this about Karlie? Is this not about Karlie? Yeah, the point is, that was a really close relationship to Taylor that suddenly ended. So naturally, it's going to inspire some thoughts, some songs, some art from our girl.
So, you know, some of these there's a great, like, talk about Taylor Twist. Like, she talks about, lived in the shade you were throwing till all of my sunshine. And I love that was gone, gone, gone. I love that comparison of the two. So I think that's an interesting thing. But I did want to say, as far as Karlie Kloss is concerned, that Taylor Swift was once quoted about, like, saying that if Karlie Kloss was an emoji, she would be the sunshine.
Wait, did Taylor Swift say that?
Yes, that's what I said. Taylor Swift once said, she thinks like Karlie Kloss, if she was an emoji, she would be a sunshine. And that line, live in the shade you were throwing till all of my sunshine was gone, gone, gone. And
it's a brilliant line.
Yeah.
It's so creative.
Yeah, it really is. So is.
In the metaphorical shade until all of her sunshine, as in like, her source of happiness, essentially.
I mean, you're getting both definitions of the word. That's what...
Yeah, you really
so
are.
So beautiful.
Okay, now let's break down this next line, Rachel.
Yes.
I have so many thoughts. I've always wondered about this, but I've never actually researched anything here.
Okay, good. I can give you some feeling.
I couldn't get away from you. In my feelings, more than Drake. So, yeah.
Now, you know that Drake has a song called In My Feelings, right?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so this is like another Janet Jackson. I'm all over you like Janet.
All for you.
All for you like Janet. Never mind. All for you like Janet. But also, I mean, it's interesting that she's bringing Drake into this, because Drake and Kanye have huge beef.
Wait, who has a huge beef?
Kanye and Drake. Like, they are...
Oh, Kanye and Drake. Not Taylor and Drake,
no,
right?
Kanye and Drake. And,
okay.
Have
they ever, like, been romantically, linked? Because that was kind
of no,
what
not Taylor
I was
and
thinking.
Not Taylor and Drake. No.
Are we sure about that though? Are we sure about that?
No, that feels weird. I don't.
I would ship that.
Okay, anyway. Ship it.
I just, without ever researching, thought that this meant she couldn't get away from ya, as in whoever she's trying to forget that existed. Just like she couldn't get her mind away from Drake because she had a crush on Drake. That's always what I assumed.
That's super weird. No.
Be the thought. But you think that's weird? You don't stand by that, huh?
No, because she's saying that Drake is in his feelings. Because that's what he sings about, which you didn't know. But, like, I'm in my feelings more than Drake. Not, like, more than
because
Drake
is in his
feelings. Because
he's in
his feelings.
Yes. But she's saying, like, I'm actually more in my feelings
more
than
Drake.
Drake.
So, yeah. And I couldn't get away from ya. In my feelings more than Drake. So, yeah, your name on my lips, tongue tied. Free rent living in my mind. Your name on my lips, tongue tied. I heard... I didn't hear a lot of
Carly
interviews.
Kloss is a bit of a tongue twister. Kind of.
So is Kanye and Kim and Carly, and we got Calvin. We got all these. Those are tongue tied. But that Taylor was kind of, she was unable to talk. Remember, she like pulled herself basically off the internet. To me,
true.
That's like I didn't even know how to respond to any of it. So she was just like tongue-tied, even though it was probably all she wanted to talk about. Your name on my lips, but I'm tongue-tied. That's like,
yeah,
so interesting.
I just love this line. This is probably my favorite. Free rent living in my mind. That actually has become a colloquial term.
Yes. Did
I'm
Taylor
sorry,
coin it?
I can never say that word right. Colloquial. Is that right?
That sounds great. Good job.
Thank you. Colloquial. Doesn't sound right.
It sounds right to me. I like it.
Okay, colloquial. I don't think that's right. But my point is that I don't know if Taylor invented this or not, but people have begun to say so-and-so lives rent-free in my mind.
Yes.
And I only ever first heard about that colloquial term in this song. So I don't know if Taylor invented that or not. And she is known for using like catchy, turn of phrases.
Like throwing shade changing the way she says it or the way that it means.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I'd never heard of that term until this song.
Yeah.
But now it's something that's colloquially used. I just can't. I don't even know.
All right, so we're getting a transition into the chorus, and there's this like little, I don't know if you call it a pre-chorus or this line that she does, then something happened one magical night. And I love the line and the way that it sounds like she's about to talk about one of her classic enchanted Taylor Swift song.
But then something happened one magical night. I forgot that you existed.
And then it just is like, I forgot that you existed.
And that's literally how she just delivers the line too. Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's so good. It's so like kind of catches you off guard in a way.
Yes.
Because the music kind of builds up to it. Then something happened one magical night. And especially with the usage of the word magical. Like you said, it's so enchanted. It's so fairy tale. It's so classic Taylor Swift.
Yeah, like you think you're going to get like something elaborate. Like we already got like a whole verse that it's not elaborate, but there's like an interesting twist and turns. And then she just like drops like a really like simple, like, I just like forgot that you existed.
It's just so simple. And that's the entire point of the chorus is I forgot that you existed.
Yeah.
That's what happened. That's what happened one magical night.
It's just that. It's as simple as that.
It's just as simple as that. I forgot they existed. I thought they would kill me, but it didn't. Now, here's my question on that. I thought it would kill me. What is it? I thought it for her maybe was how heavy that situation was.
That's how I see it.
It almost sounds like saying, I thought that it would kill me, as in
I thought forgetting you existed would kill me, but it didn't. Yeah.
Which could be a thought. Because
it could
maybe,
either. Right.
It could be. Because if this was somebody that meant so much to her, that the thought of forgetting that they existed would actually be something that would kill her. That could be. But, you know, I think more so, it just to me is it as in the concept of losing this person or this situation or being, you know, devastated by the situation. She thought that it would kill me. And then she realized, you know what? It didn't kill me.
It didn't. If I were editing like a paper that Taylor Swift was writing and she just wrote, I forgot that you existed and I thought it would kill me, but it didn't. I would definitely highlight it and say, what is it? Like,
yes,
you need to
elaborate.
Tell me what it is.
You would say,
elaborate. Please elaborate, right?
You know? But that, the point of the song is she doesn't want to elaborate.
Exactly. You know? And I almost think that when we ask the question, who is this about? Well, I don't know because I forgot that you existed.
Yeah, that
is kind of the point.
Isn't it?
The whole point is, I'm not going to tell you what it is because I forgot all about it and I'm fine and it didn't kill me, whatever it was, mm-hmm. whether if it's mm-hmm. the existing part or the like, what, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. And Taylor loves doing that. Like, she loves having it mean different things and not explaining it. And she's just like a big middle finger at you, English teacher. I'm using it and you're just going to have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's not quite the end of the chorus, is it?
No.
Was so nice. So peaceful and quiet. And again, the production really matches. It all just sounds so nice,
it's
peaceful
nice.
And quiet, doesn't
yeah.
it? Mm-hmm.
So peaceful and quiet. I forgot that you existed. And her voice is like, it's like scratchy. It's so interesting.
I would not call it scratchy.
I don't know if the scratchy is the right word. It's not in a bad way. Like, okay, you know what it sounds like? Is when you go to a party and you like screamed really loud at a concert, let's say an Eras tour, if you will, and the next day your voice is a little like hoarse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but she just finished yelling about her life. And now her voice is just a little bit hoarse. And she's like, I'm good, but that was rough. It's like the next morning you wake up and you're like, oof, okay. That's what it sounds like. And I don't know if that was intentional, but I am embracing it because I just think it's sexy and beautiful.
I love it. Her voice is really beautiful in that part. And it was so nice, so peaceful and quiet. And then the end of the chorus is, I forgot that you existed. It isn't love. It isn't hate.
It's just
indifference. Yeah, what a concept.
It's such a concept for Taylor Swift, because when does she ever just sing about indifference? Like, she is either all in on love or all in on hate. Like, she's just very extreme.
This is the one and only song, I think, that we have of her leaning into something other than extreme love and extreme hate.
Yeah.
And you could argue it's like, well, I think she's like pulling from extreme hate or extreme love at some point to create this song. But what she's saying here, you can't deny. She's saying, well, it isn't love. It isn't hate. It's just indifference.
Yeah.
Again, that's the point of the song. It's like, right. You know what? This did have a strong impact on me at one point in my life. But right now, it really doesn't. I forgot they existed. And all that is to me is just indifference. She's not going to forget fully that it was a situation in her life. But she no longer feels strong emotions one way or the other about it.
She's going to be
because she's so
it.
Past it. She's so beyond mm-hmm. it. She mm-hmm. realizes there are so many bigger and better things ahead of her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Second verse.
And I must say, I missed that before she gets into the chorus, got out some popcorn as soon as my rep started going down, down, down. She says, I forgot that you got out some popcorn.
I forgot that you Got out some popcorn as soon as my rep started going down, down, down.
I heard you mention that, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to say I didn't really catch it right away, and I was quite mm-hmm. confused because I thought she was singing got out some popcorn. Like, I got out some popcorn as soon as my rep started going down, down, down. And
No.
And that's a different view. Like, laughed on the schoolyard as soon as I tripped up. Like, and in my mind, I read that as her, like, as you were, like, talking shit about my reputation, I was just sitting there eating my popcorn, just, like, caring. Oh,
that's not how I
laughed when I fell and tripped up because it's like, oh, my goodness, no. I'm so cute. And that's, like, a totally different
Totally different.
Yeah, yeah.
No. So, no, I think she's saying, you know, I forgot that she's continuing that concept that you existed, but she's leaning it into the second chorus. I forgot that you got out some popcorn and just freaking munched and snacked yeah. and loved the show, loved the drama of it all as soon as my rep started going down. And that's why, to me, it's very Kanye because Kanye basically set up the entire thing while it was Kim's help too. Taylor was basically singing in the second verse. She's acknowledging that whoever this is about didn't stand by her side. Like, they just, like,
yes.
kind of really almost enjoyed the camaraderie and the show of it all.
Laughed on the schoolyard as soon as I tripped up and hit the ground, ground, ground. So this girl, school really messed her up. Like, she sings a lot. She brings in this metaphor of tough times in school a lot to describe. I mean, and various songs. We get Miss Americana and the Heartbreak Prince that kind of, like, talks about the battle of the two.
For sure, for sure. And then we obviously get, like, school-related themes in
the first, Fearless, like, the early albums. You. Yeah.
That's interesting, Rachel. I assumed this line to be a childish look on what was happening in her life. As in, like, she yes. was tripping on a playground, and that was being viewed as this, like immature, like, schoolyard-type situation. When for her, it was her real life. But, you know, they were laughing as if they were on the schoolyard making fun of a little girl.
Yes. I that's what I'm saying. She's definitely using it as a metaphor, but I think that she pulls in a lot of that. Like, it's like she can easily latch on to that because I think that was a hard time for her. I think that school actually had a lot of those laughing moments, those tough moments. So it's easy for her to pull in that into her life.
Yeah.
This next section is where this is why I think you think it's a musician and why I think it actually might be Carly. And I'll get into that.
Yeah,
I would have stuck around for ya, would have fought the whole town. So yeah, would have been right there front row, even if nobody came to your show, but you showed who you are, comma, then one magical night.
Oh, see, that changes everything, the way that you just phrased that, because I was always hearing it, but you showed who you were then, one magical night, which to me is the VMAs of 2009. Which is the Kanye stealing the stage. And I feel like up until this point, she was a fan of Kanye. She said in an interview that night after the VMAs, yes, I was a fan of Kanye, and now I'm not so sure anymore.
And Taylor, are there any hard feelings towards him?
I don't know him, and I've never met him, so.
So were you a fan before?
Yeah. It's Kanye West.
But I don't think that's what holds her up anymore. I think it's that's the 2016. If this is about Kanye. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more that situation that upsets her. That one, I feel like she forgave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This one, I think that she has not. Also, it could just be the metaphor. We brought this section up when we were talking about...
What were we talking about? I do remember we've referenced this part of this song before. If you guys are listening and you know, let us know.
We are
We don't know.
We don't know.
They all blur together, to be quite honest.
But what we say about her, and I think it was the moment I knew, because showing up matters to Taylor. It has always mattered to
right.
her. Like she believes in that, and she will show up to her people. I mean, we've seen it. She's seen this in action every time that she goes to Travis Kelce's football games. And like, she shows up and that matters to her. She would mm-hmm. have been front row of the show of yeah. your life, if you will, yeah. whoever you are, whether you're a friend or a boyfriend or just a person that you know, like she would have supported you because she supports people. She's the girl that's standing up in the Grammys and cheering for everybody on that stage.
She is, and God bless her for that.
I know.
Whether she like really does feel supportive or not, she's showing support, and I think that matters so very much, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And yeah, she would have been right there, front row, even if nobody else came to your show. Which is also fun because it's almost kind of shady that she said that. She's almost implying that there is yes. a scenario
yes.
when nobody else in the then world when no one's gonna show up. To go to your show?
Yeah. 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 That you're gonna fail. All right, so we get, you know, there's that comma that says, like, you showed you all how you are. Then one magical night, I forgot that you existed. Because I think the point of her song is not like, it was that moment that you showed you are that I knew that I had forgot that you existed. It wasn't that moment, because a moment will happen and it takes her a while. It was later on. Then one magical night. After you showed you who you are and I gave it some time to stew about it yeah. and think about it and write a million songs about it.
Yeah.
Then I realized I forgot that you existed.
Mm-hmm. And what she's saying is the magical night is the moment that she forgot.
Is realizing, existed, right? Oh, wait, I've let that go.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that to her is the magic of it.
The magic
yes. is I no longer feel this burden.
That's huge, you know? For Taylor. That is huge for her. We know that. We know that about her.
Yes. Girl carries a grudge. And yeah. so to have a night when she's like, you know what? I actually don't care anymore. That's magical. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we get a chorus. And then we get a, I forgot that you, into a bridge.
What are your thoughts on this bridge, Rich?
It's short and sweet. You sent mm-hmm. me a clear message, taught me some hard lessons. I just forgot what they were. It's all just a blur. Okay. I love that. It's honest. Like,
I just want to correct you. It's not I forgot what they were. It's I forget what they were, which I think is significant that, you know, instead yeah, of saying yes. I forgot.
Yeah. She says, like, I forget. This moment, like, I know yes. that I learned something. And that's actually the whole point. Like,
yeah.
If you're still talking about the lessons that you learned from an experience, then it's possible you haven't actually let it go yet.
And again, it's kind of the joke that we know she doesn't actually forget, right? That is the joke. I think she's leaning into the joke.
But that's the smirk of it all. That's her being yeah. like, I forget you existed, except you know I don't forget.
You know I don't. You know I don't.
Well, let's pretend that I do.
But the rest of the songs that we get on Lover that follow this song, none of them are about holding a grudge. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we don't
right.
get that harboring, grudgy, resentful Taylor in the rest of this album. It's either love songs or journeys about the love that she has for somebody.
Yes, but it's not grudgy.
And not about harboring resentment in the past.
Yeah.
So I think this truly is what she's trying to convey is, I just forget what they were. It's yeah. all just a blur.
Yeah.
I forgot that they existed.
So, yeah, let's get into it.
So, yeah.
So
and
that,
that's basically what wraps up this song.
That, yeah, so we get another verse. I mean,
do,
another
and
chorus.
We get some giggles. We get some
yeah,
laughs.
Yeah.
I forgot that you existed. And I thought that it would kill me, but it didn't.
And she's obviously just carefree. Like, she
yeah.
don't give a
yeah.
F about
yeah.
it right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And then the song literally just ends with her speaking, it isn't love, it isn't hate, it's just indifference.
So
yeah.
Yeah. It isn't love, it isn't hate, it's just indifference. So yeah.
What a fun ending. Like, it's just...
It's a power move, I think.
It is a power move. It's reframing the narrative. It's just saying, like, come on, guys. like, I'm fine, or I'm not, but I'm doing better than I ever was.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So I told you at the beginning of the episode that I wanted to talk about, like, how would you mash, what would you mash this song? I don't know if you've had any thoughts. I can go first and see if that opens up any ideas for you.
Yeah, go for it, Rachel. What if you were the Taylor Swift, what would you mash up with this song during the surprise song moment of the Eras Tour?
Honestly, what I want her to do from this song is to go, I forgot that you existed, and then go, this is why we can't have nice
things. Oh, yeah.
Dar.
Totally.
Lan.
That'd be a great moment.
Because it almost is like, we can't have nice things. You just break them all the time, and I forgot that you existed.
Except
I didn't. But anyway,
mic drop moment. Okay. If I had that on the Eras Tour, I would.
Okay, it's been said, so we'll find out. We'll find out. Do you have any ideas?
Rachel's manifesting. Well, I think that, you know, this would just be a lot of extremes, but the fact that you announced last week after we did Dear John that we're going to do this song, I think would be a really like interesting dynamic contrast because Dear John is so clearly about regretting and not forgetting somebody that if she sang this song right afterwards,
Would be a mic drop. I don't know how she would. That would send the crowd into like a frenzy of frenzies, like the
sorry, frenzies.
Saturday Night Live.
It's Oprah's, nice to have a frenzy.
It's like the Oprah skit from Saturday Night Live when their heads literally explode off. There, like that's truly what you would get from that moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Sam. This was so nice. It is right now so peaceful and quiet in my house, and I almost forgot that my kids existed. I am actually really glad that we did this song as a palate cleanser after last episode because
needed
this. I thought it would kill me last week and it didn't. Here we are. We did this. This was fun. Mm-hmm. But what I'm curious now, I need you to send me a clear message about what song we're going to talk about for next week.
I've chosen a banger.
Yes. Okay.
I've chosen, to me, such a banger. I love the song that I'm about to announce.
Do I love it?
I don't know. But to me, it's always been a favorite. So I'm very, very excited. And I chose it for a specific reason, which I'm not going to say tonight. Why? I will save that for when we discuss next week.
Oh, okay.
Rachel, I've chosen the song Wonderland.
Oh, I had a feeling.
Did ya?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I'm ready.
I just want to say something really quickly. You think I Forgot That You Existed is about Karlie Kloss. A lot of people think Wonderland is about Karlie Kloss, too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's actually a pretty great transition.
Yeah, that's not why I chose it. I like that. But just something to think about, something to put in your back pocket for next week, Rachel. So
okay, I'm excited. A 1989, it feels good to be back there.
Yes, Wonderland it is. Oh, Swiggies, we know that you would have stuck around for us. You would have fought the whole town for us. And you're always right there, front row at our show. So we just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for your continued support. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Thank you for indulging Rachel and I's absolute nerdiness when it comes to Taylor Swift. We just have so much fun. And thank you for being a part of that. We will never forget that you existed, you guys.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Yes.
This cocktail no longer exists, I will say. But the popcorn garnish around it sure does. So I'm just going
to... Okay. I was going to say, I keep wanting to chew on the garnish of your cocktail. Is that weird? That's weird.
It got a little messy.
It's good.
It's so good. So, cheers to that. Clink, clink, Rach.
Cheers. Clink, clink.